For faithful Jews who were awaiting the Messiah, waiting the promised Savior that would come to free Israel, they were very familiar, I'm sure, with this reading from Malachi. This promise of the one who would come with great power and majesty, that he would be like the, as the passage goes, like the refiner's fire or the fuller's lye, purifying Israel, but more importantly, purifying the temple. You know, seeing the temple as maybe having become impure and it needs to be purified. And so they thought that his first entrance would be grand. It would be this great entrance of this conquering king coming in and clearing out those who were impure so that the temple would once again be pure for the sacrifices to God. Well, the Messiah did come. That Savior did come. But he came in a way I don't think anybody ever expected. Because it wasn't a grand entrance. It was rather simple, about as simple as you could get. He came in as an infant, 40 days old. The purification in the temple was always done 40 days after birth. And he was 40 days old, so 6 weeks old, carried by his mother, carried into the temple. Probably looked like any number of parents who were coming and going that day to do the same thing. Just normal, ordinary thing. It was a humble entrance. But that was the entrance of the light of the world into the temple. That was symbolized by the candles that we lit at the beginning of Mass, that light of the world. Anytime you see a candle, especially with the Mass, it is symbolizing, it's showing us the light of the world. That's why this feast day is traditionally known as Candlemas, Candle Mass, because the long-standing tradition was that all the candles that would be used at Mass would be blessed. So we would have all those candles. Well, what the remnant of that is the candles that we did, the blessed candles that you now have. But that light of the world came in so quietly. So few really even noticed. Like I said, they probably looked like just any ordinary person. But then the prophet Simeon goes up and starts talking to him. And the prophetess Anna goes up and starts proclaiming that this is the Savior, the one to cleanse Israel. And people start to take notice. But by and large, I bet most people that went to that temple that day had no idea that their Savior had come and that their Savior had been there, had been at the temple. And then after this was all done, after the ritual, they went home, back to Nazareth. Nazareth was not a glamorous city. It was not a place that people went to for tourism or anything like that. It was very much kind of out of the way. You only went to Nazareth if you're going to Nazareth. Sound familiar? We kind of live in a place like that, don't we? So we kind of know what Nazareth would have been like. Very humble, very simple. Not a lot of pretension to it. Well, just as our Lord came humbly and lived humbly until his sacrificial death and resurrection, he comes to us today humbly. He doesn't come to us in a big show. He doesn't come to us in a big appearance. Now, people have had that. People have had apparitions throughout the history of the church where they've seen our Lord in his glory. But most of us, we don't see that. But he does come to us today in the appearance of bread and wine. Our Lord comes to us at every Mass in the appearance of simple bread and simple wine. And not just does he come to us in that appearance, but then we receive him, and he becomes a part of us, and we become a part of him once again. Very simple, very humble. He also comes to us spiritually when we gather in prayer, whether it's gathering in prayer for the Mass or gathering in prayer privately as small groups or whatever. Our Lord tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So when we pray, our Lord is there. I would argue, though, the most humble way that our Lord comes to us is each other. Is in each of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Those who are part of the body of Christ as we are part of the body of Christ. When we see our neighbor, we are seeing Christ in them, or we should. Because our Lord comes to us as individual members of the body of Christ. And there have been stories throughout the history of the church of saints who have seen a beggar. They've seen someone that's poor. They've seen someone that's injured. And suddenly it's revealed to them that that person was Jesus himself appearing to them. When we see our neighbor, especially when we see our neighbor in need, we need to see them as Christ. One thing I love is part of the rule of Saint Benedict, where he talks about hospitality, that Benedictine monasteries should be known and generally are known for their hospitality. If you go to visit a Benedictine monastery, they will give you great hospitality. And because that is because of the rule of Saint Benedict, where it says that all who approach the monastery are to be greeted as Christ himself. That those who come to the monastery are to be treated as Christ himself. Do we do that in our lives? Do we see people around? Do we treat them like Christ? And it's simple enough to do. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. It can be as simple as just when you pass someone, acknowledging them, greeting them. You know, how often do we do that? We're at the grocery store and we see someone coming, but we happen to go a different way and we just don't really acknowledge them. Not out of malice, not of hatred, just we don't acknowledge them. We just go, we've got our way we're going, they're going their way, we've got our things we need, they've got their things, we just kind of pass. And it can be just as simple as just look them in the eye and say good morning or hello. That's it, something simple. It can be a kind word to someone in pain. You have someone in our family or a friend that's suffering, and we could just give them a word of comfort. Or if they're in sorrow, if they're suffering with sorrow, just be a shoulder to cry on. Very simple things, providing just a little bit of comfort. Of course, you know, we can do this by helping those in need. And I don't mean just giving money to the food bank or Catholic Relief Service, as important as that is, different charities and so on. But if we know there's a family that's in need, they need food, bring them some food. They need clothing, supplies, whatever it might be, basic stuff that they might need, doing our part to help them. We can see Christ in the other when we go to visit those who are in the hospital or who are sick. You know, and that's a hard thing to do sometimes. It's hard to go over there. You know, it helps us remember our own mortality when we go to the hospital or visit someone in the nursing home. But it can provide such comfort, those people, the people that are over there. And so on. And there are many more ways we can do this. This list that I've gone through should sound familiar because it's based off the corporal works of mercy. When we do the works of mercy, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy for our neighbor, we are recognizing Christ in them. We are recognizing the need to serve Christ in them. But there's another side to this. We also need to be that light of the world. We need to let the light of Christ shine through us. That is why we recognize Christ in that other person, is so that the light of Christ will shine through us into a world so in need to see that light. We let that light shine through us, and we recognize that light shining through others. So we are called to be like Simeon and Anna, to recognize Christ coming to us as humbly as he does, so that we too may say, as Simeon did, mine eyes have seen the salvation.